The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. So this morning, we are looking at voice activation. Voice activation. So to bring the word of God to us today is our peace. Let's put our hands together for the Lord as we welcome Pastor Richard Ogbomo. Let's keep clapping.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Can we just worship a little bit with that? If you remain standing, if you're not on your feet, you can please stand. Just worship with the song. Unto your greatness, we're clapping unto your might, we're clapping unto your counsel, we're enthroning you as the King above all. Our lives, our situations, our circumstances, truly no one measures with you, our Father. Thank you for who you are to us. Honor and glory we give unto your wonderful name. In Jesus' precious name we have worshipped. Amen. God bless you. Please, you may be seated. Thank you, everyone. On behalf of my family, my wife, we just want to say thank you once again for that honor and for accepting us, for the privilege of being able to do this, lead in this capacity. And I said earlier, thank you. That's it. The first time we did this, we said, well, hopefully the church will not empty out, and you guys came the next Sunday, so we know that at least our confidence is growing, right? And we did it again, and you came back, so our confidence is growing. And so I know I can say boldly that you come to church next Sunday after we finish the teaching. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, so like you heard Papi introduce, this morning we're going to be talking about voice activation. Everybody say voice activation. No. Only three people activated their voice here. Voice activation. There you go. Your voice is powerful and you must activate it. Imagine waking up every day to the conviction that everything that you say internally or externally has the power to shape your life. I want you to imagine. I'll give you 10 seconds to imagine. Play with that thought. Everything I say internally, everything I speak, I verbalize, it has the power to shape my reality. How do you think you will wake up? How do you think? It's almost like you have a superpower, right? Guess what? Many times, people underestimate the power of their words. Both the words that you verbalize and the ones that you iterate inside. And scriptures confirm that what we say largely determines the direction of our lives. What you say largely, many times, maybe 99% of the time, determines the direction of your life. God himself, right, showed this to us. God manifested this. He modeled this to us in Genesis 1. God was busy. He was creating, right? God is a creator. And you are a creator because you are made in the image and in the likeness of your Father. Amen. Good. See? Even amen is supposed to be an activator. Because what does amen mean? Amen means so be it. When I say amen, when I say something, if I declare a word over you, you're supposed to say amen and say it like you mean it. So I say, you are made in the image and the likeness of your Father. Say amen. Amen. There you go. You are activating. You are saying, I agree with what you have just said. So God himself is, God is a creator. While he was creating, right, was putting things, nothing really happened until God said. God said what? Let there be. Come on. Only three people went. God said, let there be light. And there was light. God used his own voice activation to create the reality you see right now. So voice activation is so powerful, especially in this year where God has given us open doors. The question I ask myself, okay, open doors and what next? Okay, doors are open. What next? Can I really walk through these doors? Can I really harness everything that God has planned? Because you know when God spoke open doors, right? He had a plan. Can I really align with that plan and see the manifestation of what open doors represents in my life? Or will it just be another year, God forbid, where there was a prophetic word? I received it. I was happy about it. By the end of the year, I cannot really testify that I actually entered open doors. That will not be your story in the mighty name of Jesus. So God used voice activation. Likewise, what we speak, whether internally or in our thoughts, right? Internally in our thoughts or externally with our mouth, can bring life, can set the course, the direction of your life, and can manifest into every situation that you face. So today, I want us to explore how our internal speech, what you call the self-talk, and how your external speech, what you call the verbalization, affects the course of your life and brings your reality. We want to look at what science or scientists have said about voice activation, and most importantly, what the scriptures teaches us about the power of words. And our text this morning is taken from Proverbs 18 verse 21 in the Passion Translation. Proverbs 18, 21. And it says, your words, everybody say your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. See, words doing two things there, two major things. They're either killing or they're giving life. And it says the talkative person will reap the consequences. So which is why sometimes you want to pump your brakes when you are talking too much. Because in the multitude of words, sin is lurking. Sometimes you get off and you are speaking and you are, you know, it's in the enter. You are speaking, all of a sudden you are OP, out of point. The Bible is telling us here that your words are so powerful, they will either give life or they will kill. My prayer for you is that your words will give life. Amen. Your words will not bring death. And throughout scripture, we can see the power of voice activation from Genesis to Revelation. And I was sharing in the first worship experience that if I was to count, I can say conveniently, and it might be more, over 100 cases of voice activation in different stories in the Bible. Right? But we don't have all the time in the world. For the sake of this teaching, for the scope of this teaching, we're going to look at seven profound examples, and I'm praying that by the time we are done, you will have a conviction to activate your voice and use it often, meaning your words will have precision. Say amen. Amen. Your words will hit their target. Amen. Your words will give life, and your words will shape your reality in the way you want it to do. Praise the name of the Lord. So our first example that we'll run through this morning is the centurion in Capernaum. the centurion, the Roman centurion in Capernaum. And you can see that in Matthew 8 from verse 5 to 16. Because the second worship experience, at least we have a little bit of flexibility of time. Do you mind if I read some of those verses, right? I can read it from the English Standard Version, and you can join me in reading it, right? So it says that when he entered Capernaum, that is Jesus, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." Let's stop there. How many of us want Jesus to come into our houses, right? Oh, only two people. Only one person put up their hand. It's not a trick question, though. No. I want it to be interactive. How many of us want Jesus to come into their situation? That should be everybody. To come into my house. So Jesus was saying to this guy, imagine Jesus saying to you that, "Hey, dude, after church, I'll be at your house." Wow, Jesus is coming. Oh, yeah. My wife says, that's today. In fact, our rice will multiply. Amongst other things, right? We have wine. Not alcoholic wine. Praise the name of the Lord. Anyhow, Jesus said, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion says in verse 8, "Pump your brakes, Jesus. No, don't come. Don't come. All I want," Jesus said, "I am not worthy to have you under my roof," right? "But only say the word and my servant will be healed." What he was saying to Jesus, that Jesus, you know what? Activate. Voice activation, Jesus, is all that I need. And my servant will be healed. Now listen to what he says. "For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does this." When Jesus heard this, Jesus marveled. I pray that your faith will cause Jesus to be amazed. Jesus said, He said, Jesus marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." Again, I pray for you that God will say, "With no other one have I found such faith," in Jesus' name. And to the centurion, Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." Because you have believed that by the power of my voice, because I've activated my voice, it is sorted. Let it be done for you as such. And it says that the servant was healed at that very moment. Now, I want to bring you into another dimension. Two very quick dimensions right here. Verse 14 says, "And when Jesus arrived or entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in a fever." What did Jesus do? Verse 15, "He touched her." Everybody say, Jesus touched her. "And the fever left. And she rose and began to serve him." But verse 16 gives us another interesting insight. It says that evening, they brought people to him, many to him, who were oppressed by demons. And he cast out the spirits by doing what? A word. Jesus did not touch them. Jesus activated his voice. And that's interesting. He touched one. He activated his voice for another. That is interesting. So Jesus encounters this centurion who was, in a sense, faced with a closed door. His servant was paralyzed, sick. He says he was terribly sick. But when the centurion approached Jesus, it was obvious that this was not a case for physicians or doctors. Otherwise, that guy will be healed already. The guy was bringing what you can almost call a hopeless case. If Jesus didn't intervene, who knows if the guy would have died. He brought him to Jesus and he said, "I know you want to come to my house. Don't worry, don't come. Just activate your voice. Just activate your voice." It's like you are praying and praying, and Jesus has said, "You know, I've heard you. You know, I'm showing up." "No, Jesus, just speak. All I need is voice activation." Why? Because I understand how powerful it is. And I was saying to Jesus, "You know what? I too am a voice activator. I say to my soldiers, 'Go,' and they go. I said to them, 'Come,' and they come. I know the power of being able to speak into things. So don't worry about coming. Just speak into my situation." The Lord will speak into your situation in the mighty name of Jesus. So the door is open unto us as a church this year. So maybe for you, you may be waiting for a push. Open doors, push. Maybe for you, you may be waiting for a touch. But do you really understand? Can you grasp this morning the power of the voice as it relates to your open doors? That is what I am praying that you will grasp. The power of your voice, your partnership. Do you know that you are, I am, the first hearer of anything that comes out of your mouth, the first partaker of the fruits of your lips? That's who you are. Firstly, the words will build momentum. Before the words come to your lip, they will build momentum in your heart, right? And eventually they will overflow to your mouth, right? And then you will give it to the hearer. Secondly, when you do eventually release that word that has, you know, built momentum in you and come to your mouth, when you do release it, it's your ear that hears it first, even when you whisper. Because you might whisper, somebody could say, "Kill away." But your ears heard it. In fact, guess what? Your internal tongue has loud it, so to speak, inside your head. So you are the first partaker of what you release from your mouth. It will first enter your ears before the other person's ears. And I asked this question in the first worship experience. Now tell me, what will happen if all the words I spoke in a day were negative words? Who is the first person that will hear it? Who is the first person that will believe it? You. Because if you woke up in the morning and the first thing you did was to use your mouth activated in abusing, for example, your spouse, do you know that your voice is in your head as well? So that word, the negative words you are speaking over them, you are speaking into yourself as well. Now, can you tell me what happened the rest of your day? You're going to have a crusty day because it's like somebody's also telling you that thing you are saying. And that's how the mind works. Now, if you woke up in the morning and the first thing you were doing was using your mouth to bless, can you tell me how your day will go? All through the day is a blessed day because the positive words have come into your mind. You are the first partaker of the words you activate with your mouth. And that's why you must bless. And I developed a culture and I said, if this is true, so when I go running in the morning, right, and I'm running past people, guess what? I don't say good morning anymore because I just don't want my day to just be a good morning. I say, God bless you. It's a blessed day. I'm running and blessing them. And I'm saying sometimes, I say, Holy Spirit, you know that because I bless that guy is blessed as well, right? Guess what? I'm speaking it to myself. I'm saying top of the morning to you. I'm saying an excellent day. I'm seeing a guy, you know, on his job as I'm running, but I'm saying, well done. I'm saying, Richard, well done. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is so profound in the power of the words you activate over yourself and over situations and over communities. In the 1990s, a Japanese scientist named Dr. Masaru Emoto, you know, conducted several experiments. One very fascinating experiment, particularly that we're talking about this morning, about the impact of words on energy used, and he used water to demonstrate this experiment. Very interesting experiment. I want you to follow me. For over 20 years, Dr. Emoto, right, studied the scientific evidence of how the molecular structure of water transforms when it is exposed to human words, when it's exposed to thoughts, when it's exposed to intentions. Isn't that a very interesting experiment? So what will he do? He found out that when pure water, I'm not talking about water in the sachet, not that one. I don't know if that water is pure, honestly. When pure water, right, was in a frozen state, and pure water is water that is without impurities, additives, fluoride, right? When it is in a frozen state and he looked at it under a microscope, they showed up like, you know, these crystal-like, you know, like snowflakes in their purest form. That's what water should look like in its frozen state, right? And Dr. Emoto said, you know what, let's try something else. He took this pure water, right, and then he put them into test vials, that's test tubes, and labeled them with, you know, negative words like you're a fool, you make me sick and evil. And rather than the frozen state look like these nice crystals and snowflakes, they began to look like these grayish, you know, matter, formless matter. And that was showing him the power of written words, activated words over pure water. So what he did was take water that had additives, right, and then label them with I love you, peace, angel, and on and on. And what happened? They began to take this form. And that's mind-blowing on the power of words over water. Now, I was reminded, even a long time ago, I was doing this research, that, and my wife is here, bears me with this, if any of our sons come and say that they have a headache or something, blah, 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 especially headache, I mean, particularly, what do we do? Take a cup of water and we pray. Drink. Before medicine. Medicine is not the first, or even if we don't give them water, but I remember many times I give them a couple of water and they drink, and they go to rest, and they come back, headache is gone. Hallelujah. Do you know that you are 60% water? Your composition is 60% water, at least for an adult. For children, it says 75%. Right? So every time you speak into your children, you're speaking into the waters of their life. Every time you speak your internal dialogue into yourself, you are speaking into the waters of your life. Now, no wonder Jesus says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living waters. Can you be honest and ask yourself, what is flowing out of your belly? What are you allowing to be activated over you? So Dr. Emoto's experiments has proven that energy generated by positive or negative words can actually change or impact the structure of an object, not even talk about your life. So we see the effect that words have on water, the effect that words have on our lives, whether positive or negative. Number two example, who remembers Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones? You know that story? Ezekiel came into a valley of dry bones. And of course you know that dry bones represent hopelessness. Because not only are they dry skeleton, they are scattered bones. That's hopeless. How do a skeleton scattered come back to life? But Ezekiel did not focus on the hopelessness. When he came into that situation, he activated his voice, and that activation brought about restoration. Ezekiel prophesied according to the instruction that God has given to him. Can I give you just 5 seconds for you to prophesy right now into any situation in your life? Prophesy, son of God. Prophesy. I can't hear anybody. Prophesy, daughter of God. Prophesy was all God said to Ezekiel. Prophesy over that child. Prophesy over this week, that this week they will call me. I've been waiting for them. This week I will get attention. It's all that he said. Prophesy into the hopeless situation. This week, my test result will come out right. Speak into it. And the Bible says that hopeless situation, the bones came back together. The bones came back together. And then, guess what? Flesh began to grow on a hopeless situation. Guess what? Life came back. And he says they began to live and they were an exceeding mighty army. Hallelujah. Voice activation. What about the Israelites before the walls of Jericho? Jericho's strategic city after they were about to go and take their promised land. And Israel was to do something profound. They were to give a shout. Israel was to give a shout, not a thought. So there are times for everything. The time for declaration is not the time for meditation. The time when you're supposed to be speaking is not the time when you're saying, I just want to pray by myself silently. They were to release a declaration and not engage in meditation. And I have a few definitions about meditation. I didn't give it in the first service. I'll give it here. A meditation is an introspective practice focused on mindfulness and self-reflection. So when you meditate, it's an introspective practice is focused on mindfulness and self-reflection. While a declaration is a confident outward expression of intent, belief, or purpose. So while one is inward, the other is outward. Meditation is the art of listening to your inner voice, while declaration is the power of making that inner voice heard. So we must make that inner voice heard. So marching around the walls didn't bring down the wall of Jericho. Now you can see two things were happening there. There was a prophetic action. The prophetic action did not bring down the walls of Jericho. It was the prophetic declaration. The moment they marched at the seventh time and the trumpet blasted, what did they do? They shouted, "Children of God, shout!" And the walls of Jericho, you cannot see, come down in Jesus' name. They activated their voice. You must activate your voice in this year of open doors. What about blind Bartimaeus? We gave him a name in the first worship experience. No one called him Brother BB. Brother BB, to make it relatable. B square. Brother B square. Blind Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming. He must have been reading his Bible. And he said, "His Son of Covenant is here." And he howled, "Jesus, thou Son of David." What was he doing? He activated his voice. And they said, "Shh, keep quiet." Say, "For we are Nebo." "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." When last did you shout to the Lord, "Have mercy on me"? Even though Nigeria said, "Shut up," you said, "Have mercy on me." Even though your car said, "Shut up." Even though Lagos State said, "Shut up." They destroyed your property. You said, "Have mercy on me." They said, "Come and go back. You are no longer a part of us. Tribal, whatever. Have mercy on me." You lifted your voice. You activated your voice. We must activate our voices. And guess what happened? It's persistence in the place of activated voice brought what? It's miracle. If he had kept quiet, what will happen? His own will keep quiet with him. Like the parlance in Yoruba says, "May your own not keep quiet with you in Jesus' name." Number five. And I took this one from Papi's teaching last week. And it's the beautiful story of Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas. Ah, I like second worship. First worship, they didn't join me. Oh, yeah. Paul and Silas. They prayed. They sang. One more time. Oh, yeah. Paul and Silas. They prayed. They sang. All of you here went to Aladura Church when you were small. it just took me back when we were much younger. We used to sing that a lot. These guys activated their voices in prayer, in praises. And what happened? They had a supernatural intervention. The gates before them, boom, burst wide open. The chains, the stocks they were bound in, got broken. I pray in this season and for the rest of the year, because you now understand the power of voice activated. As you pray, everything that represents a gate before you be burst wide open in Jesus' name. Everything that represents stuck around you and your children be broken in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Number six, what about the woman with the issue of blood? You can see that in Mark 5. The Bible says, verse 28 of that scripture I'm going to read, Mark 5, 28 particularly, in the Passion Translation. She kept saying to herself, is what the Passion Translation says. She kept saying to herself, "If I could touch his clothes, I know I will be healed." And that's interesting. So I asked the question in the first worship, how can you tell what someone is saying to themselves? She was thinking, but they wrote what she was thinking. "I've been Mark, you've been Winch. How did you know?" And I concluded that she must have testified. She must have told somebody that I kept saying to myself that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, and I touched the hem of his garment and I became well. Or she probably told Brother Mark by herself. What am I trying to say? The Bible tells us in Revelation 12, 11, that we overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. By the word of your testimony, you overcome. You must share that testimony. Sitting in this place is testimonies. You have to open up your mouth and tell somebody about it. That's how he got found his way into the scripture. Otherwise, who can record someone's thought? Mark will say, okay, I know that's what you were thinking. How? She must have told somebody. You will overcome by the word of your testimony. In the mighty name of Jesus. Last one. I'm not tempted to bring one more. 1 Samuel 17, from verse 45 to 47. In fact, 1 Samuel 17 is the famous story of David and Goliath. We all grew up with those stories, right? David didn't just fight Goliath. Before David even engaged Goliath, David engaged Goliath spiritually. He declared that God would deliver Goliath into his hands. And when you get to verse 45, David said this to Goliath. 1 Samuel 17:45. He says, I come to you, voice activated, in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God. David is too clever. David immediately took the battle to God. God, carry your battle. He says, in the name of the Lord God of heaven's armies. The God of Israel, that's what he is. And when they call God of Israel, he's the God of heaven's armies, El Saboah. Whom you are defied. David didn't say you defied the enemy. He says, whom you defied God. David set Goliath up immediately. Bad setup. And what happened? Like Papi will say, God said, David, just throw stone towards him. That's what I need to do. And then Angel Gabriel was waiting. And the first worship experience, they argued with me that it wasn't Gabriel, that Gabriel is the gentleman. That was Michael. I say if it was Michael, Michael would have cut off his head. He would have seen sword come out in the spirit and just cut off his head. But it was Gabriel, because Gabriel is a gentle spirit. So Gabriel says, now only slap, I'll give his hand. Just throw the stone. As the stone just coming, Gabriel just gave me, pah! The guy fly, bah! And David did exactly what he told him, because he activated it. He said, I will cut off your head. God created the platform because David activated his voice. Would you activate your voice so that God will create your platform? Can you look at that challenge? Can you look at that thing in your business that you have been sleeping on and tell yourself that from this week, I am going to wake up and begin to study for this thing and begin to learn how to be creative in this area so that when I engage you this week, my clients will come, they will see value, and they will pay me. Praise the name of the Lord. He activated his voice and he triumphed. And I said, interestingly, this threat by Goliath had been going on for 40 days unanswered. David was just one guy. In that place, there was Eliab, a trained soldier. There was Shammah. There was Abinadab. Okay, leave those guys. Their king was there. Saul was there. Nobody responded to this threat. That already teaches me something. That as long as you do not respond to the threat, it will go on and on and on and on. What has been threatening your marriage? What has been threatening your children? What has been threatening your livelihood? Threatening your health? Would you activate your voice and respond? Respond. Everybody say, voice activated. David activated his triumph by just speaking his words. And this also reminds us that the enemy also uses voice activation. Because Goliath had activated his voice for 40 days. He would come and, where they come out, kill you. Why was he not killing them? He could have just, as big as he was, he could have just gone straight into the camp and just start to mama all of them, right? But he was like, kill you. And when he shouts, like, what do? Hey, don't come again. They run away. For 40 days. Man, you got to sometimes put your head inside the scripture and actually see how you live your life. Because that's how we live our lives, right? You're doing nothing. And I'll say, hey. Sometimes I can't sleep at night. If I sleep, what? Bad dream, eh? You speak to the bad dream. You speak to the demon. And I was sharing that I kind of think that demonic encounters are sort of and I want to say this carefully, kind of easier to deal with than physical encounters. Because none of us has, anybody seen a demon before? Who has seen devil's second in command before?
Let me be devil's second in command.
Nobody, right? Anybody seen a demon for live demon? I want to know, just maybe, because I don't really see demons. I only see demons manifesting people, right? So, if it's a demonic manifestation, it means that the demonic manifestation knows who to listen to. And that is the word of the Lord, right? Because every knee shall bow, right? To the name of who? To Jesus' name. And I was saying that, I remember when we went to Sierra Leone for a missions trip, right? And we got there, my first encounter in missions. As soon as we got into the house, we're excited. We don't finally come missions. I have a story to tell my wife and people when I get back home. And they say, devil, just come out here now. Devil, just come out here now. Devil in person was here. Devil was here. Who has seen that when you're growing up? Richard was here, right on the wall. Eh? Devil was here. Ah, just come out here now. And I'm saying, well, maybe that's an exaggerated thing. Devil just come out here. Less than 5 minutes, I heard commotion outside the house. Devil has come back. Guess what? Devil was inside some guys with some masquerade-looking things, and they wanted to attack us. They said they want to exhume the house, all that drama. And I came out of the house and saw the other pastors engaging, activated voices, firing these devils. I can't remember how many, 6 or 7 of them, dread-looking things. And what do you do in battle? Immediately I join. Oh, yeah, rap-a-pa-pa-pa-pa, yeah, fire. Fire. We don't see what is going on, but you know that they see what is going on, right? And I was reminded that Papi had been teaching us that he wanted to go into service, and there was this funny-speaking demon, right, in that service, and he drew a bloodline and said, I draw a bloodline now, you will not pass, and that demon will charge through that person and stop there and go back. So what did we do? We also drew a bloodline to the demons and said, you will not pass here now. Guess what happened? Real story, man. Those guys, those things, they would charge like this. They would get there. They couldn't pass. The witch doctor was furious. Their head. He brought out his witch gun. They said, if he shoots you with that gun, you are dead. As he brought out the gun, it looked like a real gun. When he raises up like this, all the villagers, pew! But the guy was shooting at us. Shoot. Witch dead. He shoot. He shoot. The guy was so angry. He opened up one briefcase, brought out spices. They look like pepper soup materials. Started throwing spices at us. And nothing happened. But in the name of Jesus, all of a sudden, one of the masquerade-looking devil, the guy just turned and used that his witch gun and blasted it in. Maybe, I don't know why. Boom! That's how the thing just flew, landed on the ground. The mask just went off his face, and the guy was trying to get up. He would fall, he would crawl and fall, he would crawl and fall. And I was saying that I felt like he was the angel, Gabriel, again, very gentleman, was saying, get on, let me see you. Matty said, get on, let me see you. Matty said, matching his head. To the praise and glory of the name of the Lord, and that is demons. But if it was physical, you know, you'd be wondering, okay, this guy, how I want to respond? Because it's a physical thing, but the spiritual things, the demons, I think, in a sense, if they do show yourself, thank God, you don't show yourself, now we know who to turn to. Praise the name of the Lord. So, the enemy also uses voice activation. The enemy also uses accusation as voice activation. The enemy will look and say to the heavenly court, objection, my Lord, you can't bless him, he's a sinner. Objection, my Lord, you can't answer her. She did dust, because it's called the accuser of the brethren. He has all your records. So what am I saying? Please, as much as you can you keep your records clean? The blood of Jesus will prevail for you, amen? Because none of us is perfect, right? But the Bible says that you need to, those that sin that easily besets you, you know it. You need to rise above it. You need to let it go. And for some of us, it's like a serial thing. You know the one that easily besets you. I know the one that easily besets me. Why not just give it to the Lord? So that the devil doesn't have that thing to bring as an accusation. And every time he comes, the angel of the Lord will say to him that, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. The Lord rebukes you concerning joy, Somotosho. The Lord rebukes you concerning Toke. The Lord rebukes you concerning Francisca. You can put your name there. The Lord rebukes you concerning Richard. In the mighty name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And this is why David said unto the Lord, even though he had committed adultery, unseal my lips, Lord, that I may praise you. And I can imagine David, I'll see my list, and next thing, he bust out in tongues. He can praise now. Devil's name will hide. This guy's gotten his steez back. Praise the name of the Lord. And guess what? Your own voice can close doors instead of keep them open. That's why you have to be careful with your own voice. Some of us have used our own mouth to close open doors. When words of doubt come out from your mouth, when words of fear come out from your mouth. Classic example, Israel, 10 spies in Numbers 13 from 31 to 33. They came back with a negative report. The door was wide open unto them. They began to use their mouth to close the door. They said, you know what? Those guys will defeat us. They are bigger than us. While I grasshoppers before them. Can you see this? And guess what? Interestingly, those guys had evidence of a good land. Nice looking fruits. Some monkeys, like we call it, right? Some enjoyment. But all they could see was the fear. And they closed the door to their own faces. May you not close the door to your face in the name of Jesus. May you not close, they close the door to their generation. May you not close the door to your generation in the mighty name of Jesus. Because God ensured that he wiped out that entire generation. Another dangerous door closer is complaints and murmuring. When you complain, God despises complainers. He despises people that murmur. Numbers 14, 27, 29 says to us that, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? God was asking Moses. I've heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. And that is the dangerous thing about complaining. When you are complaining, you are attracting the things that you will say. What kind of man did I marry? Oh, you're going to say it. What kind of woman did I marry? Useless. What kind of children are these? We complain about them. As you are complaining, you are amplifying. I was watching a video during the week. I don't know if anybody saw it. I think it was Pastor Flourish Peters. He brought out an Indian woman, right? And the woman was giving a testimony about a child that used to steal. And she wasn't focused about the sin. She was saying, you are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. You are the righteousness in Christ Jesus. And she continually prophesied. Long story short, the boy won't thief. You know, be thief. They held his hand until the boy began to declare that I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Am I saying the situations are not there? They are there, but stop amplifying them in complaints. Stop complaining about Nigeria. Do something. Stop complaining that there's no love in church. Bring love. Stop complaining that there's no unity. Who are you united with? Stop being the victim. Stop complaining, I said, about downfall driver. Give him chance. Is there a way? Give him chance. I said, I drive defensive. You know what called defensive driving? I drive like Jackie Chan. My eye there, my eye here, and my eye there. So as they're coming, because those guys will mess you up. And when they mess you up, guess what? As you open the door and come out, you see a guy on the ground. What will happen? You go and pay 120,000 naira for something that you could have avoided. Why? Because you're already complaining. I will show them today. So you won't enter. That's it. Stop grumbling. Be wise. Turn to your neighbor. Look at somebody. Look. Say, stop complaining. No, you didn't say it. Say it. Look. Stop complaining. Oh, God, stop complaining. Stop complaining. You know? Complain about the food they give you in the house. Stop complaining. Begin to speak. Do you know you are the best husband? Do you know you are such a fantastic wife? They go out in the morning, send them a text message, and say to them that this day, I'm so blessed to have you in my life. When he's coming back home, will he come back with his own complaint? He's going to come back with his own praises. Praise the name of the Lord. You can clap unto the Lord. Why should I stop complaining? Because complaining certainly closes doors of God's provisions and his favor. So you might be saying, okay, I get the gist now. Okay, I'm not. My voice is activated. How do I activate doors with my voice? Run through four things real quickly and pull the curtain. Number one, you probably already know them, but I'm praying that today because your spirit is open, you are going to receive it in a different way, and you are going to do them. Amen? Speak life over your situation, number one. Speak life over your situation. Remember the scripture we read, Proverbs 18, 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what you declare determines what manifests. And I said I will repeat that thing a couple of times. What you declare determines what manifests. What you declare determines what manifests. What you declare determines what manifests. If you say you are finished, oh, you can tell what's going to manifest. If you say you are blessed, right? If you say that you are hopeless, if you say Nigeria is hopeless, what's going to manifest? If you say that this thing, no good thing, if you curse NEPA, what you declare determine what manifests. Your words shape your reality. What you declare in faith, you attract in life. What you declare in faith, you attract in life. Because Job 22, 28 says that thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall what? Shall be established, and light will shine on your ways. Decree a thing. When Ezekiel spoke to the dry bones, he didn't describe the hopelessness. He said, God, now, wow. See, everywhere just scattered. You're asking me, can this thing believe? What are you saying, God, now, wow? He spoke in spite of the dryness and the things he saw. He declared life, and the bones responded. So keep declaring God's words and his promises over your life. Declare them over your family. Declare them over your business. Declare them over this nation, Nigeria. Continuously. Throughout this year of open doors. Until you enter into the full manifestation of open doors in the name of Jesus. So number one, speak life over your situations. Number two, praise before you see the answer. Back to the scripture Papi used before for us last week. These guys didn't wait until they heard. You know when you hear gate, even if you are sleeping, I can hear my gate open. You know, you hear that chinging sound, right? But you know, you hear that chinging sound in the dungeon. It's either they have come to beat you some more, or they are coming to kill you. So they didn't hear that sound before they started praying in panic. Meaning, prayer and praise shouldn't be a spare tire. It shouldn't be something you defer to in the last minute. How many of us heard, and I heard, it's not original to me, where they say, all we can do now is pray. Anybody has heard that before? When in a kind of terrible situation, say, all we can do now is pray. No, wrong. What you should have been doing is pray. Right? Not at that time that all you can do now. You've been praying. Maybe at that point in time, all you can do should be listen. Because if you've been praying, God should be responding, correct? Praise the name of the Lord. So praise before you see the answer. Because sometimes your praise is the key to the full manifestation of that open doors. And I love Psalm 100, verse 4, seeing it in the Passion Translation for the first time. And it says that you can pass through these open gates with the password of praise. Can someone see something going on there? You can pass through what? These closed gates? No, somebody didn't get that. You can pass through these closed gates? Through what gates? Open gates. Meaning that the gates can be open and you might still not be able to pass. But it says you need a password. What's the password called? That's it. The gate is open, but you need praise to pass by. So in case they tell you, where are you going to? You say, I am the righteousness of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He's enthroned in my life. And you walk through. They can't stop you. Praise the name of the Lord. Like Paul and his friend Silas, use your voice to praise. And let that be your spiritual activator. They didn't wait for freedom before they praised. They praised while still in chains, and their voices activated the shift in the unseen realm. May your voice activate the shift in the unseen realm in the mighty name of Jesus. You didn't hear me. I said activate your voice. May your voice activate the shift in the unseen realm in the mighty name of Jesus. Number three. Pray with authority. We need to change. There are different kinds of prayer. The communion prayer, there's intercessory prayer, there's, petition, supplication. But you need to pray with authority. You need to pray with understanding. And Pastor Sam is not here. Maybe his wife can wave to us. Okay, can see her, right? After service, if you see this woman, you see the man I want to direct you to. If you are saying, I really don't understand how to pray with authority, just see that woman. She'll take you to her husband. We have NCR classes. They will show you your authority in Christ Jesus so that you don't cower when you are praying. Heaven is a court. And legal rights have been, oh, I can't even go into that. I saw another video by Pastor Nat about a lady that was going to get married. Anybody seen that video? And how somebody was claiming legal rights. Anybody seen that video? For years. So someone will come, propose to her, next thing to break up. Another person will come, propose until they picked it up in the spirit and they realized that this thing is not normal. And they engaged and they saw a big woman that was legal rights, was saying, no objection, my Lord, until they broke it in the spirit. So if you hear some people's prayer, it's sort of beggarly. Yes, you can plead with the Lord, but your prayer is not supposed to be just beggarly, you know, beggarly, beggarly. For the Bible says in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say, it's what you just said, to this mountain, be thou removed, he said it shall be done. So prayer is not just asking. It's not just a begging session. Prayer is a legal transaction in the courts of heaven, enforcing the authority that God has given unto us as sons and daughters of the Most High God. So, number one, taking it from the top, number one is what? Speak life into your situation. Number two, beautiful. Number three, authority. And number four, the last one, refuse to be silent. Because the enemy loves it when we are silent. The enemy wins when we stay silent. So you must use your voice as a weapon. Oh, let me tell you something. From today, use your voice as a weapon. Remember that your voice is a weapon so that you know how to use it. So you don't use it for sporadic and spontaneous shots. And you don't use it against the wrong people. Remember that your voice is a weapon. So use your voice as a weapon. And the story is told in 2 Chronicles 18 about Ahab. Ahab was going to go to war and invited one of his friends. I'll call the friend a foolish friend. They called the friend Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat came. Jehoshaphat knew God. And Jehoshaphat said, Ahab, why are you surrounded by false prophets? Please invite a real prophet that will tell us what's going on. Long story short, prophet came, prophesied, Ahab, you are dying today. Ahab says, whatever, lock him up. Now, this is where the foolish friend does the most foolish thing. Ahab says, you know what? I will disguise to be like a foot soldier. You wear the king's robe. And the foolish man said, yeah, you're my guy. You know, I'll wait for you. No, think about that for a second. Who are they looking to kill in the war? Come on, only three people know. It's the king. Because once you kill the king, what? Battle is. So king said, I will disguise like commoner. You dress like king. Say yes. I wear the big boy's clothes. Guess what happened? As battle came, what happened? All the arrows, they faced him. And that takes us to verse 31. It says, the chariot officers saw King Jehoshaphat in his royal clothes. So they thought, this is the king of Israel. And they turned the attack to him. But Jehoshaphat did what? He shouted. He activated his voice. He said, Lord, help me. I can imagine Jehoshaphat saying, not be me, not be me, leave me, hey, hey. It comes to a point where you shout. Why you declare, why you stop being gentlemanly, or stop having steez, or stop being shishi-poo-poo. My wife, you understand what that means, right? Stop being kush or tush. You shout because you've already turned to an offer. He used his hand to go and do himself. He says, even the captives of the mighty will be set free. Don't you want to be set free? Lift your voice and shout! Help me, Lord. Help me. And I love what happens next. He said, God caused the attackers to turn away from him. Your attackers will turn away from you. The attackers of our children will turn away from them. The attackers of your livelihood will turn away from you. In the mighty name of Jesus, the attackers of your life, they will hear your voice, your activated voice, and they will turn away from you. In the mighty name of Jesus. No, I'm restrained. I couldn't even share a story. I still won't share it. But I had a personal attack. After praying and praying, for some other people that are having an attack. Two nights ago, my own daughter was attacked. But today she's alive and well. I say every attack against our children, the Lord will help us. In the name of Jesus. It's not me. I will not mourn. We will not sorrow. In the name of Jesus. Jehoshaphat activated his voice. And when Ahab's adversaries were about to consume, they heard it. And God turned them away. God will turn away your adversaries in Jesus' name. If he did not activate his voice, he would have become what they call collateral damage. You will not be collateral damage in the mighty name of Jesus. And Ezekiel 62, verse 6 and 7 says, I have posted watchmen on your walls. And I was saying, first watchmen, thank God in God's way, we have watchmen on our walls. We have people praying nightly, praise the name of the Lord. He says, and they will never be silent, day or night. He says that you will call on the Lord, give yourselves no rest, and give him no rest. So, first, you don't give yourself rest, don't stop calling, and him, you don't give him rest at all. Until he makes you the pride of the earth. The Lord will make you beautiful. The Lord will make you envious. In that, as he will make people envy you, not you be envious. He will make people envy you in Jesus' name. Someone is saying, envy a good thing. If they are not envying you, it means you have not even started. Let them envy me. The Bible says he creates a table before me, right? In the presence of my enemies. I want that kind of table. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. And remember, Brother Bibi, right? His persistent got Jesus' attention, especially when people said he should be quiet. And if he did not get Jesus' attention, what happened? Brother Bibi would have remained blind, but God would have still been good. Can I say that again? He would have remained blind, but would God be a bad God? He'd be a good God still. But it's not a better story that he has his sight and God is still good. Your voice will not be muffled in Jesus' name. So, this week and for the rest of this year, speak boldly and consistently in faith. Speak into your open doors. Activate your voice concerning everything you see. Anything you do not like, address it. Address it. Address anything you do not like. And God will come through for you. So I want us to bow our heads at this point, please. All eyes closed. All heads bowed for focus. If you're online, please do the same. And I want to ask two or three questions that will guide our set of prayers. Even as I'll ask Pastor Maraka to come immediately I get off the altar. What doors do you need to activate? What doors do you need to activate? What have you been silent about that God is asking you to speak to? What doors do you need to address right now? And then while the rest of us are speaking about those things, you shouldn't be silent right now, you should be speaking. I'm just giving you a clue. Speak to the doors you need to activate. Speak to the things that God wants you to be speaking about. There are a set of people for you. What needs your voice need to activate right now is repentance. You cannot live here with that same mindset you came. Because if you do not accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, your words are just only hitting the ceiling and coming back. It's fact. The enemy will say accusation. He will say objection. Your words can't go anywhere. So I want to give you an opportunity to settle it with Christ this morning. And we'll pray with you. I want you as my Lord and my Master. And we'll pray for you.
There is no better day than to surrender to Jesus. There is no better time. There is no better day for your voice to be activated in the heavenlies. There is no better day. You're here. That call is for you. That call is for you. Father, we thank you. We give you praise and glory. We exalt your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who is surrendering to you today. We ask, Lord, that their voices will be registered in the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. that even as they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and their Savior, Father, when they speak, the spiritual will respond in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the rest of us here today, Lord, that in any way that the enemy may have shut our mouths, today our voices are reactivated in the mighty name of Jesus. For everyone here that the enemy has silenced them with guilt, with shame, with any other weapon, today we cancel them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare that their voices receive activation in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise. We exalt your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Let's celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. I want us to just take a few minutes and pray for Pastor Richard at this time. Let's just bless God for his life. Let's stretch forth our hands and just pray over him that God will continue to ensure that his voice is activated in the mighty name of Jesus. Nothing will shut his voice out in the mighty name of Jesus. For every virtue he has expended today, the Lord will multiply in the mighty name of Jesus. The doors of opportunity, of greatness remained open to him and his family in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. People, we just heard we should activate our voices. So, in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.